quiet. Thank you all.
Amen.
Yes.
Hear that water back there? It's good to know we're going to have one baptized tonight. Amen.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Thank you,
Lord. Heard that water. I thought about that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for saving sinners.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Romans 8. That's where we'll be looking. Romans 8. Thank God for His help, for His good blessings. Been good to me, ain't you?
Yes, right.
Amen. Brother Aaron, would you pray and ask God to touch the Word of God and help us?
Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to You here this morning. Lord, we ask for Your touching, Your blessing on the listeners here this morning. Lord, we pray that You would be with Brother Danny here, Lord. Pray that You would keep him and pray to remembrance what You've shown him, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that Your blessing would be upon us, Lord, and get into our hearts, Lord, and may be a help to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Tells us no condemnation. I thought about this morning, that word no, most of the time that's a word we all despise hearing. That's probably the sweetest no I've ever heard. No condemnation, amen. No condemnation, amen. And for those that are in Christ Jesus, I think about it, if you're familiar with the book of Romans, a lot of the context of the first seven chapters, not all of it, but a lot of it, it kept going back to the problem of sin. It of course tells us in chapter 1 about sin being so bad that God turned men over to a reprobate mind. It tells us throughout those scriptures that the wages of sin is death, and it speaks on different things. Here the last few weeks we've been looking at Romans 7, talking about that struggle with sin, even as a child of God and especially a sinner. And then here we come to this, the first verse in Romans 8, and it's a blessing to read this, that there is now.
Right.
Now. We've heard all about all this problem with sin, Brother Aaron, but now, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, those of us that's been born again, there is no condemnation. That word means to be condemned, to be declared guilty before the court, before the judge. And of course, God is the high judge, and the high court is where He sits, ruling over this earth and ruling over the affairs of men. Amen. And in the court of God this morning, those of us that's been washed in that precious blood, thank God there is no condemnation. We're not going to hear guilty. Amen. We heard that when we fell under conviction. But thank God, Brother Todd, there was a remedy already had been made and completed. Amen. And I think about that condemnation, the opposite of that, or the flip side of that coin, you might say, would be justified. Amen. I'm found to be not guilty. Just as if I never sinned. Amen. Thank God for that. No condemnation. What a sweet no to hear. Ain't it good? Even no can sound good to your ears and bless your heart. Amen. Sometimes. Amen. And I like that. I'm not going to ever face the flames of the lake of fire, Brother Todd. I'm never going to face that. I'm never going to experience the darkness and the sadness and the horrors of hell, amen, or the torments of the flame, because I am not condemned, amen, because I am in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Thank God for that, and I bless His holy name for doing that for me. What a blessing. And it not only tells us here the condition of a person who is not condemned, but it tells us also the condition of their life, of their walk each and every day. It says that those are in Christ Jesus. And here it's going to define who's in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. A child of God walks not in the flesh anymore. As a matter of daily routine or daily habit or daily life. Amen. The walk of a child of God is in the Spirit daily, Brother Aaron. That does not mean we're perfect. That does not mean that we don't mess up and sin sometimes, but those are occasional things. Those are things that happen along the course of life, but it's not our normal standard of life anymore. Amen. Someone who is still under the rule and the reign of sin in their heart and never gets victory over sin and never walks in the joy of the Lord and never seeks to live in righteousness has never been saved. Amen. The Bible plainly tells us those that are in Christ Jesus are new creatures. Amen. We've been made new creatures in Christ. Amen. That's right. God changed you. What a blessing. Amen. He saved from sin. Amen. He saved not only from the guilt, because we're not under condemnation, but He's also saved from the power of sin. Amen. One day He's going to save us from the presence of sin. Amen. One day we're going to pull on out of here, Brother Aaron, and we're going to go home where there's not going to be any sin. Amen. And thank God for that. What God has done, there are great benefits to the person who can stand and testify of the fact that they are no longer under condemnation. Amen. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we're safe in the hand of the Savior. Ain't that good this morning? And thank God we don't walk or our life, we don't live and dwell in the flesh anymore. And amen, no doubt, as long as we're saved, every day that goes by, we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Keith. And we get better. We do better. I think we sin less as the days go by. Certainly the magnification or the how we look at it, the badness of our sin is less. There are some things I did as a sinner I never do anymore. And I really, by the grace of God, and that's the only reason why, but by the grace of God and by His help, I really don't think the devil could tempt me into doing those things anymore. But I still do things inwardly. There's still times that my thought life's not right. There's still times that my heart's not right, that my motives ain't right sometimes, Brother Hyde. My motivation's not right, that my zeal's not what it ought to be. Amen. But God helps me with that, amen, because I'm walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? To know that there is no condemnation to you. We'll all stand before the judgment one day, but we'll stand as children of God and be judged for the works we've done in this flesh as a child of God, and we'll receive or we'll lose rewards because of that. But I will never stand before God Almighty ever and stand in judgment with my eternal destination in the balance. Ever. I have eternal life. Amen. And I'm going to always have eternal life. Nothing can take it from me. The devil can't steal it. Amen. The world can't talk me out of it. Thank God we're under no condemnation. Amen. Verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And that's what I've talked about already as we went through earlier chapters of Romans. It talks about that. I'm free from that law of sin now. Amen. I am not under the reign and rule of sin. Amen. I am not under the rule of a sinful nature anymore. I still have this flesh. I'm still subject to temptation, as we've already said. But I am not ruled, Brother Jonathan, by a sinful nature anymore. Amen. The old man's dead. He was crucified with Christ on Calvary. I believe that's right. We still have his flesh. But the new man moved in, amen. When he moved in, he don't share with nobody. Amen. When he came in, the old man had to go. Amen. When the Holy Ghost moved in, the devil had to leave. Amen. He's standing on the outside of us now. Certainly he works through our flesh, and he tries to destroy us, and that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to sift us like wheat, just like he wanted to do Peter. Amen. And sometimes he does temporarily get the best of us. Amen. But I'm under the law of Christ now. Amen. I'm free. I'm free. I'm not bound by sin anymore, Brother Aaron. I'm free to worship. I'm free to live righteously. Amen. Best way I can explain that is because that's what I want to do. Amen. Well, when I was a sinner, I wanted to sin. I liked sin. I know you say, well, that don't sound right. Well, it's the truth. It did not bother me to live a life of sin. Amen. I found a lot of it very enjoyable. I had fun. Amen. I was living it up, living up life. Amen. Why? Because that's what I wanted to do. That's where my heart was. Why? Because sin sat upon the throne of my heart and ruled me. That was my very nature. Amen. But when God came in, amen, he freed me from that what was destructive. He freed me from that what would lead only to death, only to eternal damnation, amen. And he set me free that I might walk in the Spirit, amen. And that's what I want to do now. Amen, Brother Jonathan, I like it. Amen, that's what I want to do. God changed my want to, amen. And I believe when a sinner is saved, God changes your want to. I don't believe a sinner can continue to live in a life of continual sin and be happy and enjoy it. If they belong to God, they can't do that no more. They don't want to. Amen. They're set free. Amen. A man's over here in the prison house. Amen, Brother Aaron. He lives by the rules of the prison. Is that right? Sure. He's restricted. Is that right? He has no freedom. He can only do certain things at certain times, and that produces and manifests and works a certain kind of spirit of him, sometimes of discouragement and of aggression sometimes and rebellion in his heart because he's not free, has no freedom. Amen. But if the governor calls down and pardons the man, he's set free. Amen. He's freed from a lot of those things, and he is free to then step outside of the prison walls and to partake in the good things of life that will produce the right kind of attitudes in him and the right kind of affections and emotions in him that he might walk in the right path. Amen. And he's got liberty. He can go where he wants to go. He can do what he wants to do. And if a man really, really appreciates, if he was really thankful for his freedom, I believe that's what he'll do. Amen. The Bible tells us those that had the most sin would be the most thankful. Amen. And I have found through experience meeting people, a lot of times that is very, very true. Those deep, deep, deep into the things of sin. I mean, terrible sin. And God showed them mercy, Brother Hyatt. Sometimes that wind up, I've heard pastors even testify how wicked a fellow was. Brother Matthias has testified that when he's been here preaching. And said, and finally that man come to the house of God, heard the gospel. God saved him, said, and he wound up being one of the best church members he ever had. Sure. Amen. Thankfulness. When people shows you great kindness, you're inclined to want to do kindness in return. Yes. Amen. And the greatest thing we can do in return for the Lord, surely we know we can't repay him for what he's done. But certainly we can honor and glorify him by doing what we know pleases him. Right. Amen. What a blessing. Yes. To be in freedom, amen, to not be bound anymore by the law of sin and death, which only leads to death. There's no life in that. There's no future, no hope in that. Thank God we are free now to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ and follow Christ, our Savior. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. What the flesh could not do. The flesh could not keep the law of God. And that's what's required. Amen. Perfect obedience. It's never been accomplished by anyone walking in flesh on this earth but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That'd be the only way, hypothetically, you might say, that we could have a home in heaven and be at peace with God is to never, ever violate the law. I don't know about you, but I blowed that before I was very old at all. Amen. One sin and you're guilty of the whole law. One. Just one. You're already condemned. You know, the Bible tells us in John 3 that Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world. Amen. Why? It tells us in the very next verse. It says, because the world's condemned already. Amen. Jesus didn't have to come and declare the world guilty. The world was already guilty. Amen. He came to set them free. He came to justify us. Amen. It'd be silly for Him to come to condemn the world when we're condemned already. Amen. That'd already been accomplished by our own foolishness, by our own sin. We brought that on ourselves. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that needed to come, and it was needful. And it was not only needful, it was necessary that He would come. Amen. And wipe all that out. Amen. What the flesh couldn't do. The Lord Jesus Christ said, what Jesus come to do that we could not do in the flesh? He came and kept the law perfectly. He fulfilled the law. Amen. He didn't come to destroy the law. Is that right, Brother Hyatt? He came to fulfill it. And that's exactly what He did. It's exactly what He did. I don't know how many of you realize this or pay attention. I sort of look at things like this every once in a while. But a couple of days ago, according to the biblical calendar, it would have been the Day of Atonement in Israel. I think they call it Yom Kippur now. They still celebrate that, but of course they don't biblically obey it because, of course, they don't do the sacrifice or nothing. And personally, I think it's Christ or nothing now anyway. If they done sacrifice at this point, I don't think it'd benefit them. But just to say, it was the Day of Atonement. And what they did once a year, they would sacrifice there to cover their sin, to cover it, to hide it from God Almighty. Amen. He willingly would not look upon it. He would consider it out of His sight. What? Until the Savior came. Those Old Testament saints died in faith. And those that did, they went to paradise. They went to Abraham's bosom. We know that from Luke 16. Amen. Christ did that. And He did come at the appointed time. And He fulfilled the law right down to every last jot and tittle. And then, of course, He went to Calvary. Amen. That's where I was justified, Brother Keith, was that day on Calvary. Amen.
Right.
They tortured our dear Lord, and they hung Him on a cross, and He hung there for 6 hours. And God the Father even turned His back on Him temporarily because He could not look upon the sin of the world which had been placed upon the Son of God. He died in our place.
Right.
Amen. He did what our sinful flesh, through the law, could not do. Amen. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The law is good in its own way, in its proper context. Law teaches us what we are, that we might see our need for Christ. But it's like I said a couple weeks ago, the law can only take you so far. Amen. The law cannot save you. Amen. It has no power to save you because it's weak. Amen. It's weak. The flesh is weak. Amen. But thank God Jesus Christ came. And He accomplished everything that was required by God the Father for us to be saved, for us to have eternal life.
Yeah.
He did it all. He did it all. He didn't do most of it, and then we do a little bit when God comes and deals with us. No, He did it all. You get that? He did it all. Amen?
Yes.
Is that right, Brother Hyatt?
Yes.
He did it all. Spirit of God then in our lifetime comes to us at a point in time, I believe, Brother Keith, deals with our heart, we see our need, and we receive Him. Is that what the Bible says? We receive Him. And we believe, and we repent. Amen? And God says no condemnation.
Right.
Amen? It was paid for on Calvary. It was applied to us personally, individually, in our own life on a specific day.
Yeah.
Amen? That day Brother Keith came to the Lord, that was his day. Amen? That day down there at a Tabernacle Baptist, that was Brother Chris's day. Brother Todd and Miss Jennifer, they testified being saved here. That was their day. Amen. Brother Hyatt's day over there in the factory where he worked. That was his day. See, God's not bound to a location. And I believe it's good to be on the altar and be in the house of God when you get saved. I think that's a good thing. But everybody don't get saved in the house of God. Everybody don't get saved on an altar. I've heard some people testify, Spurgeon did, Brother Spurgeon did. He said he believed God worked that transition in his heart and translated him into a child of God while he's sitting in the pew while the man of God preached.
Yes.
Amen. I got saved over at John Honeycutt's house, praying up under his kitchen table. Amen. I mean, everybody in here probably have different testimonies.
Yes.
I think it's good if you can say, I was saved in the house of God. Amen. But God's not bound to a location. Amen. God's not bound to circumstances neither. God works in a sinner's heart under any circumstances, no matter where they're at, and do His work. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. I'm glad Christ has all power and all authority, Brother Keith, to do what our flesh and the law could not do. Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, I'm glad that my trust is in Him this morning. Amen. Him who cannot fail. Amen. He's not going to fail me. Amen. Nobody's going to ever undo what He's done. Amen. It's complete. It's finished. It's sufficient. Thank God, and I'm glad I'm a recipient of it this morning. And I can testify I'm in Christ, and therefore there is now no condemnation over my head. Amen. Ain't that good? Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's repeated again. Those of us who walk in the Spirit. It says righteousness will be fulfilled in us. What does that mean? That means that God's going to live His life through us. Amen. Why do you do what's right, Brother Keith? Why do you desire in your heart to pray? Why do you desire in your heart to witness? Why do you desire in your heart to live according to the precepts of the Word of God? Because He put that in you when He saved you and changed you and made you a new creature. Amen. And righteousness is being fulfilled in you as Christ works through you. Amen. Is that right? Thank God for that. He didn't just save me from hell. Amen. He enabled me to do something I never had the power to do on my own, Brother Aaron. And that was live in a manner to be pleasing unto Him. Amen. Live in a manner and live my life in a way that I might be a blessing and a help to other people. That I might be the right kind of witness and testimony in front of others. Amen. I want to live right. I want to do what's right, Brother Chris. I've got grandchildren looking at me. I pray every day, sometimes many times, sometimes several times a day, for my grandchildren, and I ask God to raise them up and hedge them, and one day to save them by His marvelous grace, and to take them and use them in their life for His own glory. I pray that with tears in my eyes, Miss Camille, because that means something to me. I'm serious. Between me and God, I'm begging God to please do that for my grandchildren. And God forbid that I would do anything in front of them that would hinder that. Anything that would cause them to not think of our Lord Jesus Christ as they should. Amen. Thank God that righteousness might be fulfilled in us. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
Ain't that a blessing? I mean, Brother Todd, when we were lost, like I said, we all lived to differing degrees in sin. But we didn't have no desire to live for God. Didn't mean a thing to us. Word of God didn't mean nothing to us. Prayer didn't mean nothing to us. Prayer was something like a spare tire you take out of the trunk and you got a flat tire. Something real bad happened in life. If you didn't believe you could pray, you'd call somebody you thought could.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the trouble was over, as soon as the clouds cleared and the storm went away, stick old God back in the trunk again. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, but thank God it ain't that way now.
Right.
Oh, no. I love hearing Sister Jennifer testify. I love hearing all of you testify. But it helps me many times how she talks about how daily she leans on Christ, because that's her strength. That's her hope. Amen. And we can all testify that. Amen. I'm glad God helps people to testify, don't you?
Yeah.
We couldn't testify when we was lost. We didn't have nothing to testify of. Amen. I'm glad God helps people testify.
Yeah.
That helps me. For God to be able to touch their human lips, amen, and to be able to express in words that I can understand and grab a hold of, amen, and it blesses me and helps me and encourages me and increases my faith to hear how God's helped somebody else, amen. I love to hear Brother Larry Neal testify, amen. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody stand and testify and have that kind of touch of God on them just testifying. Amen. It's a blessing. I love it. It helps me. Amen. That is that righteousness being produced in us. Amen. That we might be like Christ. Is that not what God saved us for?
Yes.
That He might make us into the image of His dear Son. Each and every day, as much as I know we look in the mirror, Brother Todd, and we just don't see it. I think, but I don't look much like Jesus. And I'm talking about in character and behavior. But no doubt, when I consider where I was as a lost man and where God's brought me to now, I certainly can see the working hand of God in my life, how He's helped me. And there are things that I guess that I do in my life and the way I live my life that does testify of the dear Son of God. Amen.
Yes.
That people might see Him in me. I don't want people to see me. If you dwell on me and look at me, all you're going to find is a lot of fault and a lot of problems. You're just going to find flesh. But I pray that God would allow me to live my life in a manner that people would see Him, not me.
Right.
Amen. They see Him, they'll see something worth seeing. And it ain't about me. It's by Him. And sadly, there's times I fail Him. But I can rejoice in the fact, though, that there's a lot of times I don't. Amen. I know I'm guilty of this. I talk about it. Oh, Lord, I fail You an awful lot. But there's a lot of times I don't, too, because I have His help. Amen. And He does use me. That amazes me, Brother Aaron, that He would take me and use me for anything and trust me with anything to do with Him. Amen. But He does. Amen. That's because He's in control.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, it's what a blessing.
Yeah.
What a blessing. But that phrase was repeated there, though. It says, if you walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the key. That is the key. Amen. But we are inclined to slip back into the ways of the flesh because we do have this old body. Amen. We still have the flesh. And He hounds us and He harasses us and He tempts us and He tries to discourage us each and every day. Is that right? Amen. But we have Christ. We have within us the Holy Spirit. We have with us the means and the power. We have access to the ability within us, Brother Todd, to get victory over that each and every day. Crucify yourself daily, as Paul said.
Yes.
You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to get up every day, and you're going to have to pray and say, God, help me that I might put my fleshly, carnal desires away. And out of the way, and out of sight, that I might walk in the Spirit, that I might fulfill Your good will today. Amen. And we'll look at verse 5. I'm not going to dwell on it, but somebody next week may want to pick up there just because of the context of the next few verses. But I do think this goes together. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And basically what that's saying, lost people is going to live just like lost people. Sinners going to act like a sinner. That's what they are. Now, that's what that's saying. They're mindful of the things of the flesh. They're carnal. They're sinful. Why? Because they're sinners. And they have not the help of God. But what should be the testimony of a child of God? That we walk in the Spirit and we're mindful, or we mind the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hey, child of God, the Word of God ought to mean something to you. There ought to be a love in your heart for the Word of God.
Right.
There ought to be a desire and an enjoyment in your heart for prayer, for a time of fellowship and with the Father through the Son. That ought to be a glorious time for you every day, an enjoyable time. Prayer should never be grievous. I know sometimes it is. We get tired. And we get aggravated in the flesh. And it's hard to pray when it's like that. But I'm talking about day after day after day. It should not be a grievous thing for you to pray.
Right.
That should be a wonderful time. Amen. And it should be more than once a day. I mean, there's a lot of times through the day. I know Brother Hyten preaching, me and him talking, he's testified of this. I mean, I can just be doing something. I can be doing something at the house, and something will just come to my mind. Maybe Aaron will come to my mind. And I'll just quietly as I'm doing what I'm doing, I might say, Lord, help Brother Aaron. You know, give him the strength to accomplish what he needs to do today and watch over him. Give him peace in his heart. Help him. I mean, there's a multitude of times every day that comes up throughout the day, Brother Keith. Things like that may just pop in my mind, and I'll try to ask the Lord to touch that situation.
Yes.
We ought to be in an attitude and a spirit of prayer, I believe, continually. Amen. The Word of God, God's commands and God's precepts ought to mean something to us.
Yes.
It ought to bother us when we don't obey God. Amen. Child of God, don't obey God. That ought to bother him. If it don't bother you when you know you've disobeyed God, you've got a problem. Something ain't right. Amen? I mean, these things ought to matter. We ought to mind the things of the Spirit of God. Child of God, you ought to have a burden in your heart for sinners. It ought to hurt your heart and cause you to grieve to have loved ones that you know does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're in danger of the judgment. That ought to grieve your heart.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, your heart ain't where it ought to be. Amen? That's exactly right. Things of the world should never, never cause a reaction in us stronger than the things of God would. Never. I mean, people saved. I'm a guy, and I'm like Brother Hyde. I still like watch football and stuff like that. Hey, if my team loses, and that gets me all mad, and I sit there and huff and puff for 15 minutes and turn the light off, and I go to bed, and I can't sleep because I'm still mad because my team lost and all that. But maybe the day before somebody burned the Bible or somebody blasphemed God in my presence and I didn't have that kind of reaction for that, something ain't right.
Right.
I ain't saying you lost. I'm just saying something ain't right. It ought to bother you a whole lot worse when people blaspheme God than when little petty things, fleshly things, worldly things happens in your life that don't go your way.
Right.
I haven't arrived on that, Brother Chris. I'm still guilty sometimes on that myself. But I'm just saying that's the truth.
Sure.
Walk not in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Amen. Well, thank God. Hey, no condemnation. That's the good thing. Can I give you a little good news before I close? Even though we know we still mess up, we slip and fall, we get in the ditch every once in a while, Brother Keith, we're still not condemned. Now, God will deal with us as a child of God. Hebrews 12, still in the Bible. He'll still chasing you. Amen, because He loves you. Amen, He's trying to produce righteousness in your life through that. That's what it says. Amen. But God's not going to take my salvation from me. Thank God I can't lose it. Amen. I'm not saying this lightly. Please don't take this wrong. Well, I'm not saying I think I could go out here and do something terrible and I'm still okay with God because I don't want to go out there and do nothing terrible.
Amen.
But I'm just saying, the fact is this, there's nothing I can do, nothing, to cause God to take my salvation from me.
Right.
Now, I ain't going to go out there and do it by the grace of God, but I'm just saying, there's nothing I could do in this world. No, you can imagine the worst sin possible. If I fell in it tomorrow, I'd be in trouble with God. I'd be in trouble with the church. Amen. I wouldn't be worthy of my calling to stand anymore. But I could not lose my salvation. That's how sure the work of Christ is. That's what kind of foundation it sits on, Brother Todd. Is that not wonderful? That there is now no condemnation for a child of God, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I'm never going to stand before God and have to be in danger of going into the flames. Never. Hey, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Scripture just popped my mind. No matter how weak I am on a particular day, Brother Aaron, He's never going to stop loving me. Do you realize this? Jesus loves me just as much on my good days as He does my bad. And vice versa. You say, oh, I feel like God don't love me as much today because I messed up today. No, God loves you just as much as the best day you've ever had. As far as what you think to be your best day, the day you walk the best in righteousness, God never loves us no more one day than He does the next, no matter what circumstance. He just loves us. And He loves us fully and completely with a love that we can't imagine. Amen? A love we can't explain. But we know it's real. I can experience it. Amen?
Yes.
No condemnation. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Brother Chris, would you pray for us?
Father, we thank You, Lord, again this morning, Lord, for this Word of God we've heard. I pray, God, that You please, Lord, instill it in our hearts, Lord, help us that we can rejoice, Lord, over this no condemnation, Father. Help us, Lord, also this morning as we continue on in the service. Ask You, Father, Lord, that You might, Lord, guide our way. Lord, help us be attentive. We thank You, dear God, for what's already accomplished, and pray, God, You continue on in the same fashion. Lord, touch our pastor and give him, Lord, understanding. I pray, God, that You, Lord, bring through, Lord, these things which we've already heard, and Lord, just continue to carry it over for the next day and these coming weeks. I pray, Father, Lord, also that You please continue to be a help to them that are sick in body that may not be with us this morning. Pray, Father, Lord, that You give comfort where it's needed. And, Father, again, we're so grateful for Your Word to be brought forth to us. Help us, Lord, in our hearts that we might be rejoicing in it. For it is in Jesus' name, amen.